Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to invite you into a hallway in Florence, Italy. A hallway in the Galleria dell'Accademia. As you step into this hallway, you are greeted by four breathtaking sculptures. They're made of marble, and at first glance, it looks like they were dragged here right from the quarry and placed in this hallway. The edges are rough. You can still see the chisel marks very clearly. They are all incomplete statues. It's as if the artist simply put down his hammer and chisel and walked away. Time is frozen in these statues. They are Michelangelo's slaves. He was commissioned to sculpt these by Pope Julius in 1505, but when the Pope died, the funding ran out, and he just abandoned the project. But although they are unfinished, they are still as captivating as any of Michelangelo's other work. There within the roughly hewn marble are four human forms that look like they're striving to break free from the stone. A couple of them have faces, a few have hands and feet that are still completely encased in the marble. One is young, another is old, one has a full beard, another barely has a face as it peers out at you through a crevice in the stone. In this hallway, you are invited into a moment of frozen time. What these blocks were is gone. And what they will be is not yet here. Half-human forms striving to break free from the weight of the stone. Well, the Apostle Paul this morning actually invites us into a similar hallway. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now, that's quite a statement. Because the suffering of this present time, it's heavy. It's rock solid. You can count on it. It bears down on you without your permission, and there is ultimately nothing that you can do about it. And in the midst of this present suffering, we can easily lose sight of the glory that is to be revealed to us. And so, as a result, Paul says it aptly when he says that the creation now groans, as in the pains of childbirth. It groans under the load of sin, and it waits. It waits for the revealing of the sons of God. We wait for the redemption of our very bodies. Yes, the suffering of this present age invades our very humanity as we become groaning, half-human forms striving to break free from the weight of sin-wrought suffering. And so this morning, Paul invites us into the hallway that is the Christian life, where what we once were is gone, but what we will be, it's not yet here. See, by Christ's work that makes us new creations, we are no longer the dead in sin creatures that we used to be. That's gone. And yet, this old sinful Adam still hangs on. And the sinless, glorified people that we will one day be, without sin, without death, well, that's yet to come. Suffering and glory, held together, frozen in a single moment of time. Now, at first glance, it may sound like Paul is being kind of flippant here. A sort of, it ain't nothing. And certainly, the glory that awaits us does far outweigh our present suffering. But we must remember that that glory doesn't take away our suffering. No, the suffering is still very, very real. And when you're in the thick of it, it sure doesn't feel like nothing. I mean, when the cancer that was in recession comes back suddenly with even more strength than it had before, it certainly doesn't feel like nothing. When conflict between friends and family drives a wedge a mile deep and any chance of reconciliation seems impossible, it certainly doesn't feel like nothing. When your husband's surgery is taking far longer than it was supposed to, and you're in the waiting room by yourself, and the thoughts start rising in your mind, you're wondering if he's going to pull through, it certainly doesn't feel like nothing. When a mother and father invest their love and their energy and their time into raising their children in the fear and knowledge and trust in the Lord, only to have those children walk away and reject Christ, it sure doesn't feel like nothing. And when death sweeps in and it claims your father or your mother, your spouse, your sibling, your child in the blink of an eye, and leaves you stunned and speechless, sure doesn't feel like nothing. And if that wasn't enough, tack on the fact that all of the suffering in the world is, at the end of the day, our fault. It is our human sin, after all, that has broken God's good and perfect creation, and so it limps along and it drags us with it through the muck and the mire of tribulation, half-human forms striving to break loose in any way we can from the heavy stone of sin and suffering. And looking on from the outside, it might be easy in those situations to simply say, well, snap out of it. Get over it. God's in control. He'll open a window. This too shall pass. But that's not what Paul is doing here. Paul here is not being flippant about our suffering. He's not trying to skirt around it. He's not trying to give you a way to make it disappear. Instead, he's giving you a way to endure it. To take the sin and suffering seriously. To call it what it is. But to take justice seriously. The promise of Christ in the midst of it. And man, Paul certainly knew this firsthand. He knew suffering, imprisonment, beatings, often near death. 5 times he received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. 3 times beaten with rods. 3 times shipwrecked, stoned once. A night and day adrift at sea, in danger constantly from robbers and his own people and Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, hungry, sleepless, exposed to the elements, not to mention his constant concern for his brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, Paul knew suffering. So how can he say it? How can he say that our present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that is to be revealed? Well, he can say it because the glory of which he speaks is nothing other than the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive our sin and to restore us to our full and proper humanity. At the end of that hallway in Florence, there standing above all of these unfinished statues is Michelangelo's David. That wondrous work that is meticulously magnificent. The proportions are paramount and the detail is divine. When you look at that statue of David, you can see the veins in his arms. You can see the fingernails perfectly manicured on his fingertips. You can see the curly hair on his head and the shape and tone of every muscle. He's just as he should be. Not a single detail went unnoticed. A perfect, glorious, unfettered man in the midst of half-human forms, struggling to break free from the stone. Glory in the midst of suffering. How much more glorious is great David's greater son, his Lord and his God, who stands over this broken world in a glory that is strange and awkward, to be sure. Tethered to a cross, there we see a moment unlike any other, a moment frozen in time, A moment where suffering and glory are held together in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ for you. There he bears the weight of your sin and mine. There he becomes less than human. Because that's what death does to you. It makes you less than the fully human creature you were made to be. And so Christ submits to that death that's reserved only for sinners as he becomes sin for you. The suffering was heavy that day. That day, the cornerstone was utterly rejected, propped up not in a gallery for all to adore, but on a shameful hill for all to ridicule. And when all was said and done, he was laid in a tomb, encased in stone. Sin had won. Death declared victory. But that wasn't the end of the story. 3 days later, right, the glory is great as Christ breaks out of the stone. He bursts the bonds of death, and therefore he slays sin with all of its sinister schemes. Christ rose for us and showed us what the glory is that will be revealed to us when he returns on that wondrous day. It is the glory of man, just as he was made to be, fully alive and in perfect sinless union with his Lord. You see, to have your sin forgiven is to have your suffering and your death undone and to have your grave emptied, just like Christ's. Which is why we confess, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the age to come. In the meantime, we suffer. But we suffer always towards glory. And on the journey, Christ, in his infinite mercy, gives us these glimpses of that future glory, the new creation that's made in the waters of holy baptism, the true body and blood of Christ that was shed for you on the cross is today placed on your tongue for the forgiveness of your sins. The unending promise of his holy word by which he strengthens and sustains your faith unto life everlasting. Through these gifts, the sufferings of this present time, which are real and terrible, they're nothing. Nothing compared to that glory that will be revealed at the coming of Jesus, when the weight of sin will finally be lifted. Come quickly, Lord Christ. Amen.